kind of a bummer because that's my favorite Christmas hymn, but I don't think if I sang it the way I'd like to sing it, I'd had enough voice to preach. So we'll see. You may wish I'd have sung the song. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to tell you today about a love story. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a sucker for a good love story. I read Jane Austen and love stories like Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth, or Fanny Price and Edward Bertram in Mansfield Park, or Eleanor and Edward Ferris in Sense and Sensibility. If you tune into the Hallmark Channel this time of year, you can see many, many movies about love. And even though you pretty much know the plot from the beginning of the show till the end, you can anticipate, it's all still nice when love conquers all. But I don't want to talk about any love stories from great literature or from the modern movies. In addition to romantic love stories, I like love stories of the here and now. I love that in this congregation, every Sunday, we can look around and see love stories. I love that we see elderly, that means they're older than me, maybe just more mature couples, that still, in spite of being married many long years, love and cherish each other, and as age affects their lives, they still try to nurture each other. I love that I can look around and see young families. See the love story of couples meeting and marrying and bringing children into the world. And in spite of all the struggles and the busyness of life, I see their love story and that their story is still growing and progressing. I love to look around at people about my age and know that we are now grandparents as well as parents. And I see the love that these people pour into the lives of their children and into their grandchildren. But I don't want to talk about our love stories this morning. In November, Susan and I celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary. Susan and I, like most couples, have developed a little bit of back and forth. We tease each other. She is wonderful to often tell me that she thinks I'm a wonderful husband and father and grandfather. She finds ways to show me as well as tell me that that's what she thinks about me. I thank her and I tell her that I love her, but then I sometimes say, you know, there is that one fault about you that I am concerned about. It's your taste in men. But I don't want to talk about the love story that Susan and I have. Here's a problem for you to work out. I just told you that Susan and I have been married 10 years as of November 1st. But as of today, I have been married a total of 49 years, 8 months, and 16 days. Proverbs 31 says, an excellent wife who can find, she is more precious than jewels. A pastor friend of mine, after I'd been married to Susan, said, Mark, you're kind of cheating. Most people are blessed if they find one good wife, and the Lord has given you two. How did I come to find Susan after 39 and a half years of my first wife and losing her to cancer? My first wife, whose name was Ellie, gave her to me. Ellie got breast cancer when she was 58 years old, and we fought it for 5 years. We went through the typical chemotherapy and radiation and other treatments, and things went into remission, but she never really recovered. Never got her strength back. And then came the dreaded news after a checkup that there were spots on her liver and possibly in the bones. There was more chemo and other therapy, but it became obvious that we were losing the battle. At some point, Ellie took me and sat me down on the couch and said, I need to talk to you. She said, I know you don't want to talk about this, but when the time comes, I want you to remarry. Well, I indicated that indeed I did not want to talk about it. She said, I know you don't, hon, but I want you to know that when the time comes, you not only have my blessing, but it's my prayer that the Lord will bring someone into your life. You're too young to be alone the rest of your life. I guess she didn't trust me because she told my daughters too. And said, when the time comes, not only must you accept Dad's new wife, you must love her and cherish her. And that wasn't enough, so she picked out a few key ladies in the congregation and a fellow pastor's wife and said, when the time comes, please urge Mark to remarry. I didn't meet Susan until 15 months later. She was living in Florida and I was living in California. But as our love story began, I knew I had Ellie's blessing. Now there's a love story. She was dying. She was losing all the things of this world, and yet her concern was for me and my future, and she gave me a new wife. But I don't want to talk about the love story that Ellie and I had. I'm going to change gears for a second here. A missionary was speaking to a couple of seminary professors. The missionary was known for his amazing ability to tell the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and to bring people to faith. So one of the professors asked, "What would you have us do for our seminary students to prepare them and help them have the gift that you have to share faith in Jesus Christ?" Here's what he said. "I would dangle them on a thread for a few minutes over hell. I would let them see the pain and the agony and the horror of life without God." The missionary said, I repeat, "I would dangle them from a thread over hell and let them see the agony and the horror of life without God." Well, what did he mean? He went on to say that he thought all preachers should know the terror of eternal life without God, so that they would never forget that that was their purpose in life, to tell people that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. That they needed to know there was no way out of sin and death except through faith in Jesus Christ. One of my sermon professors at the seminary told me and others in my class, we should always ask this question. If this were the only sermon that they would ever hear, would they know enough about Jesus to be saved? So that's the love story I want to talk to you about today. The one I do want you to hear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John is telling us that the Word, Jesus Christ, is God. He was there from the beginning. He has existed from all eternity. Jesus was God in heaven. He had all power. He had all glory. The angels worshiped and praised him. Jesus was God in heaven. But on earth there was a problem. People had fallen into sin. The people that God created had been put out of the Garden of Eden. They were lost with no way out. We see it in the lives of biblical people, don't we? During our three Advent services, we talked about Cain, who let jealousy and anger lead him to murder. We talked about Abraham and Sarah, who couldn't wait. They didn't trust that God would fulfill his promise, and so they ended up with a child named Ishmael, who wasn't a son of Sarah, just of Abraham. They weren't patient, and so there was sorrow and heartache. We talked about David and his beloved son, Absalom. Absalom, who held a grudge and plotted revenge and murder. And then hated his father so much he wanted him dead so that he could be king. We know all the Old Testament stories, the children of Israel falling away from their relationship with God again and again and again. In the New Testament, we see Peter and Paul and others of the disciples and see they continue to have a trouble with sin in their lives. And we look at our own lives and we see that same sin. We know the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that there's none righteous, no, not one." We know that Paul lamented and said, "The good stuff I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing." I have already requested that one of my funeral hymns will be "Chief of Sinners Though I Be, Jesus Shared His Blood for Me, Shed His Blood for Me." That's the love story I want to talk about. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh. God's plan of salvation was that because we couldn't earn our own way to heaven, we couldn't earn forgiveness of sins, Jesus would come and pay the price once and for all. Jesus was born in Bethlehem as a little baby. He was worshipped by the shepherds and later by the wise men. He lived a perfect life and fulfilled the law completely, just the way the scripture said the Messiah would do. He lived a life of service, preaching and teaching about this great good news. He lived a life of service, healing people, doing mighty miracles. He was arrested and mocked and ridiculed and put to death on the cross. He died on the cross having announced, "It is finished," announcing that God's plan of salvation was now complete and that all who would believe in Him as their Savior could be forgiven and free. The grave couldn't hold Him. On Easter morning, 3 days later, He arose victorious over sin and death, and right now He lives and reigns and rules and will for all eternity. What a love story. God the Father willing to send His Son into the world to be our Savior. God the Son loving us so much that He came to suffer and die to save us. We're all going to die someday. We'll be called to give an account. Martin Luther said Satan will accuse him. Satan will say, "Look at all this stuff you did." And he'll say, "You're right, I did all that stuff. I don't deserve to be loved and forgiven, but Jesus Christ paid the price for me, and I am given the gift of eternal life." Knowing we are assured of eternity, we can live the here and now. We can rejoice in our earthly Christmas. We can rejoice in the ongoing love story that we are each trying to live with our family. We can rejoice and we can sing praises to God because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the angel could say to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this night in the city of David a Savior, your Savior, Christ the Lord." Amen. And now may the peace of God, which does indeed surpass our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.